Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Listeners, have you ever found yourself in a situation like this from The Good Wife?
What's going on? Alicia?
I want a divorce.
What's wrong?
Nothing's wrong. I want a divorce.
Well, something was wrong when Alicia Florek finally decided to divorce her philandering husband, the governor of Illinois, after she publicly stayed with him for years and years. And that brings us to the real life and really sad to me story of Anthony Weiner and Hillary Clinton's close aide, Huma Abedin, and the situation they're in right now. Weiner, the former Brooklyn and Queens congressman and mayoral hopeful, whose sex-themed texts to women have been made public three times now over a five-year period. As you probably know, just this past Sunday evening, the New York Post published a photo that Weiner had apparently sent to a woman while the couple's young son was sleeping on the bed next to Weiner. And so yesterday, his wife announced that they are separating. And I feel bad for both of them. I mean, you know, poor Huma. Part of her job at the State Department seems to have been to stave off the constant requests for favors from Doug Band from the Clinton Foundation. And now this, all after she seemed to have such a charmed life earlier. And, of course, the poor child, but also poor Huma. And I even feel bad for Weiner. You know, he was such an interesting political figure, such an interesting policy wonk, might have been able to contribute a lot more if he didn't have this apparent addiction. I guess we can call it a likely addiction. But my question is, for anyone else who's been in this heartbreaking situation that Huma Abedin must have found herself in, for women, or for that matter, for men who've ever been in any kind of parallel position, how did you decide when to stay and when to go after betrayal by your spouse? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. If you've ever been betrayed like this, what are the factors that went into your decision whether to stay or whether to go? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, especially if it was a sexual betrayal or something like this, which may not have involved physical encounters but was kind of sexual in nature. If you have felt sexually betrayed in your marriage, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. How many chances do you give somebody? It must totally depend on the situation, too, and the individuals involved. Obviously, Hillary Clinton made the decision to stay with her husband years ago when it was revealed publicly that President Clinton had had a sexual relationship with a White House intern, and that was apparently not his first affair. And now her close aide and confidant, Huma, is making the decision to leave. And we can't pretend to know all the factors that ultimately led one to stay and one to go. You know, these could have been very different relationships. I think people who are political opponents of Hillary Clinton want to reduce it to, oh, she stayed because she was hungry for power. But we don't know that that's the case. It could have been that Bill Clinton seemed like her life partner in other ways that made that marriage still have a solid foundation and feel to her like it had a solid foundation and they could work through even what he did, whereas maybe Anthony is not that to Huma. We really have no way of knowing, and I think that's an important thing to say. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. We started with a current pop culture reference to decisions like this from The Good Wife, and we'll take your calls on how this has played out in your life at 212-433-9692 after we hear this historical pop culture take on Hillary Clinton's decision to stay with Bill from the women of The Sopranos.
It's not just us. The president of the United States, for crying out loud. I mean, look what his wife had to put up with the blowjobs and the stained dress.
Hillary Clinton? I can't stand that woman.
I know. Maybe we could all take a page from her book.
What, to be humiliated in public and then walk around smiling all the time? That is so false. I would dig a hole, I would climb into it, and I would not come out.
All I know is she stuck by him and put up with the bullshit. And in the end, what did she do? She set up her own little thing.
She did. She took all that negative that he gave her and spun it into gold. You gotta give her credit. Well, that's true, isn't it? She's a role model for all of us.
Little chatter from The Sopranos, once upon a time, on the Hillary Clinton situation, and now we have the Huma situation. And how about it in your life? When do you stay and when do you go after this kind of repeated betrayal? 212-433-WNYC, and we'll take some calls right after this. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and when do you stay, when do you go? Jimmy in Southampton, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jimmy. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
So you have a personal experience?
Yes, very much so. My husband has a very similar situation to Anthony Weiner's, but I never look at it as a betrayal. It ended his last relationship, ended because of this, and he was very upfront with me before we got married that this was an issue in his last relationship, and he's been very honest with me about when he does it, who he does it, he shows me, and this is what's going on. I think, if anything, it enhances our sex life, and because it's not a secret, it's lost a lot of its power, between us. And I would never imagine it ever causing us to split up, because it never goes to that final. He's never met these people in person, and it's just something that he does. He understands that when it gets out of hand, I say it's getting a little out of hand, reel it in. We're both in recovery. We know how to do that, So I don't see it in any way as a betrayal of our marriage.
That's such an interesting take on it. It's not a betrayal because there isn't a physical relationship between your husband and another person. And if it's just sexting or tweeting with photos, if you're describing it as a similar thing to what Anthony Weiner has done, you don't find that a betrayal.
Not at all. No, in no way. No, I don't see it as a betrayal ever.
And so are you critical? I mean, I hate the whole idea of being critical of other people's decisions in their marriage in public, which I'm trying to stay away from in this, as opposed to just get other people's experience on a, heart-wrenching decision. But do you find yourself then critical of Huma's decision to break up a marriage over this if it wasn't physical?
No, because it's become so public, and that's so sad. If they could keep it private in between themselves, and she had an understanding similar to mine, then I don't think it would have become an issue. But because it's so public, and I kind of see where she would go that route, because it's very embarrassing and it brings a lot of shame into the situation and stuff on her part, that she would put up with it. I don't see it as something I put up with. We both are, discuss it, and I'm very aware of it. When it gets at hand, as I said, he reeled it in. I have asked that it not be a part of his iPhone. Just keep the laptop. Don't let it intrude on our daily lives, and it doesn't.
Thank you for your call, Jimmy. I appreciate it. Here is David in Rochester, who I think had a different experience. Hi, David.
Hey, Brian. Love your show. Listen to it every morning. So thank you so much for quality radio.
Thank you.
The fundamental of this is it's a sign of sociopathy. It's sociopathic. I went through it. I had a partner in a long-term relationship for many years who habitually cheated. And it doesn't matter whether it's sexting or it's whether you're keeping a covert relationship or what the scenario is.
Although to the previous caller, as you probably heard, it did matter that it was what he considered just sexting that his partner was doing as opposed to a physical affair.
Yes, but that's an open scenario. When it's being done covertly, the person who's committing the offense doesn't take into account the effect it's going to have on someone else, mm-hmm. on their partner. And the effect is profound. In our society, we've gotten used to this idea that people can break other people like this. It took years for, and I'm still working on, regaining trust with any relationship that I'm in right now, because it was so contrived, it was so premeditated, it was with someone who I put absolute trust in, mm-hmm. and there are financial repercussions, there are, in Wiener's case, political repercussions, there are all of these circumstances, and that gets dismissed, that there is greater harm done here than one person breaking their vows, their commitment, their sense of security for another person, and it creates real lasting damage that we don't have a good way of getting people through that. Therapy isn't ideal. It's never going to be. And it breaks people in a moral fabric. People who commit these type of acts are, when you're habitually cheating or you're habitually straying from the relationship that you're both committed to,
Let me ask you just one quick follow-up, and then I got to go take some other calls. You're talking about habitually, and that's one of the things that I guess your situation has in common with Anthony Weiner and Huma's. The fact that it happened more than once. So was that the thing for you? Like, if it had only happened once, and then the person was like, oh, that was, you know, I did it, I felt a temptation, but I love you, and this is not going to happen again, I promise. And then it didn't happen again. You would have been okay?
No two love stories are the same.
Correct.
Brian, but no, once it happens, the amount of work that a human being is going to have to put into rebuilding a relationship is profound. And it's really quite beyond most people's capacity.
And David, I'm going to leave it there to get some other voices on, and I thank you very much. Here is Jack in Ware, Massachusetts, who I think wrote a book on this topic. Jack, you're on WNYC.
Yes. Hi, Brian.
Hi. What's your full name?
It's Jack Patrici.
And your book is?
Should I Stay or Should I Go? A Guide to Knowing If Your Relationship Can and Should Be Saved.
Uh-huh. So you must be watching this with professional as well as personal interest.
Yes, it's very familiar to me. I run retreats on this and work with people full-time on this issue. So I was really interested in your topic today. And I love that you started out with Alisa Florek. I watched the show with special interest. Wonder how she was going to handle this. And I think that reference brings up a lot of good parallel issues that people have to look at in this situation. The first is safety, which at least you didn't need to address, but deciding whether you're going to leave a relationship when someone has done something to damage the bond actually can be really volatile. I also have a background in sexual and domestic violence work. And even if there's been no violence previously, that can be a time when someone says, okay, I've had enough, that the partner can erupt in violence. So safety is the first issue. And then the means to have an independent life, which Alicia, if you remember, she had to go back into law after being out for like 12 years. Huma, of course, has a career. So if you have your own career path and this has happened to you, you have more options. You're not thinking about how am I going to feed my kids and what am I going to do while we work out whatever decision I make. You don't have to worry so much about that. And then there's custody issues. Often these are the nuts and bolts before people are worried about what do I feel about the relationship. They have to think, can my life still function? Those are really practical. That comes first. And then we get on to the stuff that your other listeners have been talking about, like what kind of destruction has been done? How much do I feel actively connected to this person? Has the bond been really destroyed? What's the level of humiliation? And is real change happening? Because someone wanting to change is not enough. So I can really get that decision. And it usually happens over time. Men, I work mostly with women. I do work with men as well, mostly with women. We look at real markers of real change. And people are patient. It takes an enormous amount of work, as one of your earlier callers say, to see is real work being done and is someone truly capable. But from by and large, partners who come for help want it to work. And if real change isn't happening, that's usually the death knell. So I imagine this third time in the public arena of humiliation was enough.
And the public arena certainly makes a difference, as the first caller was saying. What'd you think about that first caller?
And well, I thought that was really, I think it was Jimmy. I thought that was really right on, because he set parameters with his partner. This is what's okay with me. I don't want it on your laptop. This is how far it can go, no farther. And the partner observes the parameters. So there's no betrayal.
So interesting. So your book is called...
Should I Stay or Should I Go? A Guide to Knowing If Your Relationship Can, and most importantly, Should Be Safe. Because we can make things work that really shouldn't be worth our effort.
Thanks for chiming in. And Laura in Rockville Center, you're on WNYC. Hi, Laura.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
Well, I had two comments about Hillary and Huma.
Mm-hmm.
One is that they're different generations. Hillary is old school generation, even though she's a very modern woman and going to be breaking a glass ceiling hopefully soon. And that, I think, plays into it. And number two, how can the religious right just torture her about this and say that she, you know, she stood by him just so she could become president and power and everything, where isn't that one of the tenets of their religion and how they portray their religion is that, you know, no divorce, you stand by your man, blah, blah, blah. You know, it really is hypocritical to me.
And beyond that, nobody can know. Nobody can know. There are plenty of signs that they have a very close relationship. I mean, no, it's just a political attack. It's barely worthy of conversation.
I had one third thing to say. I was the emotional cheater in a marriage, and it came because of being emotionally, you know, abused and cut out and no affection and no love for many years, and I dragged him to therapist after therapist and tried to figure it out. And finally, I gave up, and somebody gave me a lot of attention. And even though it didn't become physical until after I had separated, it was, you know, he called me the cheater, and that's why the marriage ended. That's what he told everybody. I had found somebody else, and that's why I, you know, left him.
And how does your experience inform how you view others?
There's a lot of stories, but anyone who's a serial cheater, I think they have some issues, you know, with being close to somebody, you know.
Laura, thank you very much. All right, we could go on with this, but we're out of time for this segment, and thank you all for opening up and talking about yourselves a little bit in this respect and trying to take a thoughtful approach at this, which is being sensationalized in a lot of other places. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. More to come. Stay with us.
Well, if you've been a married woman and things didn't seem to work out, divorce is the key to being loose and free, so you're gonna be talked about.